We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RotoGrinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's October 20th. It's 2022. It is Thursday. It's week seven. It's time to talk some football. Week seven already. Keith, week seven already. Joined today, as always, on the football podcast by my buddy, Keith Eister. Eyes819 in the fantasy streets. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Yeah, these weeks start flying by once the NFL gets kicked off. And now that we've got basketball starting too, they're really going to start rolling along here. But our little content break is over. It's full force into basketball. Had the first big basketball slate of the year. Not so great in the betting streets for me on the first basketball slate that I really went heavy on. DFS is going okay. Looks to be hopefully about a break-even night overall in NBA. But early in the year, we'll get it rolling along and definitely make some money in NBA this year, too.
I mean, I lost money in NBA. So very, very excited that we're going to talk some football here. No basketball podcast today. It's only a two-game slate for Thursday. So decided that we're going to do NFL. Next week, we will have the double podcast where we'll have basketball and football. But this week, NFL only on because it's only a two-game slate. And it's super early in the year, so don't have to worry about two game slates yet. So, I mean, I'm pumped. You know, we roll into week seven. Week six was okay for me. Like, I got bit by injuries again. I had a terrible cash lineup again last week, but had a couple tournaments. We're making a profitable day, and you know, as a tournament player, I mean, I've done that so many times in DFS that it's like second nature to me where my main team is one of my worst teams, but I have a couple tournament teams. Those late games did not go how everyone expected them to go. That Arizona-Seattle game, I know you and I talked about a game in depth. That game was just ugly. That's the best terms for it. But Arizona, like that corner, why can't I think of his name right now, has just shut down number one wide receivers on the outside against them this year. So definitely something to note moving forward when facing Arizona, because like DK Metcalf is not the first guy that has gotten shut down by that guy. I cannot think of his name right now. It's driving me crazy. Murphy? Maybe.
Byron Murphy. That's the
it's like one of those things that like pop into your head and you're like, oh, all right. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
Right when you get done with the show. But
right.
The good thing is Arizona's not on the slate, so I don't have to worry about it. And next week when we talk about it, whenever they're back on the slate again, I'll try to remember his name. But pumped. Again, week 7, a lot of football, a lot of stuff, a lot of good games, a lot of not so good games. So kind of a good mix here this week, Keith.
Yeah, we've got buys now. So shorter slates, like we were talking about 14, 15 games earlier in the year. Now we're into the buys. So we've got 11 games, a little fewer options to choose from. Biggest thing, no Josh Allen. He's kind of just been a plug and play at quarterback. We do have a couple of the big guys. We got Lamar on the slate. Herbert's on the slate, although we're not sure how healthy really he has been. A little bit of a struggle for him here recently. Mahomes is here as well. And we've got Dak returning at a decent price, and Burrow coming off a big game. So plenty of quarterbacks still, but no Josh Allen was the big thing that stuck out to me. He's just kind of been plug him in and figure it out elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen, not on the slate. The other thing that I noticed, there was only one game over 50 implied total. Touchdowns are way down this year, just in general. We've seen running back production kind of down this year. We talked about it in depth last week on the podcast. So, I mean, it's really interesting when you're looking at these high-end running backs. So let's jump in. You know, it's like I said, it's a fun slate. Like when I did my research yesterday and today, coming on, you know, I always try to spend time here. When I was looking at the slate, I was like, man, this one seems fun. And maybe it's just no Josh Allen. Maybe like that's just the key. Maybe if we didn't have Patrick Mahomes, this slate would be really fun. But you know, this might be a week where, you know, we're definitely going to discuss cheaper quarterbacks and cheaper running backs, cheaper wide receivers. Like there's a lot of potential plays here. So start at the top, Green Bay at Washington, 41.5 total here. Green Bay is a 5-point favorite in this one. We'll start here with the Packers. You know, the Washington pass defense has been really bad this year, but their run defense has been really good. They're still dealing with a ton of injuries overall in this defense. What are your thoughts here on Green Bay?
Yeah, Green Bay has been a tough team to figure out all season. The receivers aren't very talented. Dobbs has looked okay, but Watson's been hurt. Lazard has been inconsistent. He's had some injury troubles as well. And then you have to split backfield here as well. So it's kind of tough to find plays to love on Green Bay. I think Aaron Jones would be like my number one option here. You mentioned the Washington rush defense has been pretty good, but Jones gets pass work as well. I don't love the price tag at 7,600. He's definitely not one of my top options on the week, but in play for sure. I'm not sure Washington's going to be able to keep up, obviously, with Wentz being hurt. Heinicke steps in as the starter. So a little bit of concern about Washington being able to keep up, which kind of takes me off the passing game a little bit. I think Dobbs is fine at 5K flat. Lazard at 6,100 is a little more than I want to pay there. So I don't really love the Green Bay stacks. I'll sprinkle in a little Dobbs, a little Aaron Jones. I do like Robert Tonyan a decent amount, though, as a cheap tight end. He's been a little bit more involved here recently. Had 12 targets last week, so I don't expect 12 targets out of him, but I think you could certainly see 6 to 8 targets. And Rodgers always looks for him in the red zone as well, so I do like Tonyan.
Especially with Cobb out. Like that, I mean, yeah. I forgot to mention Cobb being out when we were getting into it. He's going to miss 2 to 4 weeks with the ankle. Like, it's no mistake that, like, with Cobb out, Tonyan getting 12 targets was a thing. So I like him. He's probably my favorite play. I don't trust Aaron Jones or AJ Dillon. I mean, if one of them gets in the end zone, they still might not get there because the workload is so split. I think I'd prefer AJ Dillon over the two, like 5,600 compared to 7,600. But there's so many good running back plays on the slate that I don't think I need to play either one of these guys. So Tonyan for sure. I don't hate Lazard. His market share for the targets here, target share is still good enough. And I mean, I don't mind Dobbs at 5K if Watson sits again this week. So I don't love it. I really don't. Just in general, this game. Going to the Washington side, you know, you already mentioned it. Wentz out. This team is just chucking. This team was is just chucking. Like, it stinks that Wentz is out in this game because they have been chucking so much. But the guy I really want to play here on the Washington side is Brian Robinson. Packers are the worst run defense in the NFL this season. Love this spot. They're allowing the 27th most rushing yards per game at 130. Or that's the fifth most. At 135, they're 32nd in DVOA. Brian Robinson, 17 carries to Antonio Gibson's 5. He played 48% of the snaps to Gibson's 27%. I think if he gets 20 carries in this game, we're looking at 85-plus yards and a touchdown potential. So Robinson at 5,500 is still kind of in that range where I think he's cheap enough that I want to jump on him in this great matchup.
Yeah, I don't mind the Robinson call. It is a little scary with Gibson still sitting there. Also, if they fall behind, Robinson probably doesn't get a ton of pass down work. That would probably go to McKissick. So McKissick at 4,800, I think, could be like a deep tournament play. Certainly don't mind him. If I was stacking Rodgers, he would be one of my favorite run backs, along with the wide receivers. Robinson is cheap enough, though. If he falls in the end zone, he should get like 13 to 18 carries, I would think, here. If he can find the end zone, you'd be in good shape there at 5,300. The receivers are interesting with the quarterback change. Anytime a new quarterback comes in, it's hard to trust the market shares that we've seen up until this point in the season. And Washington's have kind of been a little bit surprising up until this point anyway. Like Curtis Samuel is getting more targets than Terry McLaurin. And that's like unexpected, obviously. So I have interest in McLaurin with Heinicke coming in here. McLaurin is a super talented receiver. Kind of surprising that he hasn't been able to do anything. I really like it if Dotson misses again. But I have interest in McLaurin and a little bit in Samuel either way. But McLaurin's the guy I'm really hoping can pop off here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a sample size that we had to, you know, really look at last season for McLaurin and Heinicke. And I mean, Terry McLaurin was 13th in the NFL in targets last year, averaging 7.7 targets per game with Heinicke at quarterback. So he was second in deep threats, like deep targets. Like there's massive upside for McLaurin. And we talked about it so much with Wentz, just the upside in general with McLaurin. And it wasn't clicking yet. It just wasn't clicking. And it really hasn't clicked. Outside of the one good game against like Philly, like McLaurin's upside is still there. He's still getting the deep targets. He still has that, you know, air yard share of that was massive. I still think Samuel is someone that can continue to get like underneath targets, but I think this is going to be a competitive football game. I know Green Bay is -5 in this game. I think it opened at Green Bay -5.5. It's already kind of get bet down a little bit, but this is a quarterback that knows the system. It's a quarterback that threw the ball a lot last year, and I just don't really see that changing unless the weather changes the game script of this game. I mean, I have interest in McLaurin. I have interest in Robinson. Not a ton of interest in Heinicke. This pass defense has been really good this season, so I really just think I'm going to be looking at pieces. And it's not a game that I love. I mean, there's going to be a lot of games that we're going to talk about that I like. Pieces of this game, but nothing too crazy. One of my best plays last week, Saturday night, I was working on lineups and I'd got done with NASCAR stuff and I was building lineups. I was like, man, I'm ending up on a lot of Breece Hall. I gotta play some Jets defense. That worked out. Maybe Green Bay's just not good. Maybe the Robinson Washington defense stack is playable in this spot.
Yeah, I don't hate that call. Like Green Bay definitely has deficiencies. Like they're not great along the offensive line and they're not great at wide receiver. They have two talented running backs, but against this run defense, I could see Washington shutting down the run, forcing them to the air a little bit. And Rodgers just having a tough time finding open guys because they don't win a lot at the wide receiver level. So I don't hate that call. Just quickly on the quarterback, you touched on it a little bit. Heinicke is not going to come in and manage this game. Like, he was all out, a very aggressive quarterback when he played last season. So, I mean, he's willing to take deep shots. That's part of the reason I really like McLaurin as well. You just kind of throw out the target share from the first 6 weeks, I think. It's down at 16%, but he, like you mentioned, he was up around 25% last year. So he's a guy that can earn the targets. McLaurin's my favorite play from the game for sure.
And just a quick note on, like, the Commanders' defense. They have at least 3 sacks in 4 of 6 games this year. Aaron Rodgers is going to get sacked in this game. There's no doubt about it. If he's getting hurried, he doesn't have his failsafe anymore, man. Davante Adams is just not there. So the more I think about it, the more I don't hate the Commanders' defense with Robinson as, like, a secondary stack. Because, I mean, I like Toinen. I don't mind Lazard. But it's not like I have to play anybody from the Packers as a run back to Robinson. And that type of game script really fits Robinson from what we saw last week. So just throwing it out there. Atlanta at Cincinnati. This game has a 47.5 total. Cincinnati a 6.5 point favorite. We'll start here with Atlanta. I mean, the Cincinnati defense has been pretty solid this season. Atlanta likes to run the ball. They lead the NFL in rush percentage per game. We know what we're getting out of them. We saw it last week. Algier and Huntley split carries. I think it was 15 and 15 or 15 and 16. I can't play London. I can't play Pitts. London has a tough individual matchup anyway this weekend. So, I mean, Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown last week, finally. But again, like, it wasn't enough because they just don't throw the ball enough. So, I think if you're playing Atlanta, which I don't love Atlanta in general in this spot, I think you could play Mariota by himself or play the running back hot seat and try to get the right one out of these two guys. In if I had to pick one, thinking that Cincinnati is going to get a lead, I think it'd be Huntley because he seems to be the more aggressive type of running back that they would use. But honestly, I don't love Atlanta here. I like Mixon and Cincinnati defense, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta has just kind of been slowing it down. It's how they've been staying in games. They're playing actually pretty well, but yeah, they're not throwing enough. I certainly don't want to double stack here, and I prefer Pitts over London as well just because Pitts fills that tight end spot. If I'm playing Mariota, I'll probably use Pitts just to try to get tight end right along with him.
Play him by himself and hope he runs the ball in 3 times.
He can run it in 3 times and throw one to Pitts, and then we're really in business.
Yeah, Pitts, 2 catches, 1 touchdown for that's 6 yards.
That was his line last week, right?
Yeah. They shocked me last week. Beating the 49ers last week, I think that shocked everybody. But is that like Mariota's like ceiling game last week? Is 24 his ceiling? Like he had a 92% or 93% completion rate, had two touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, and he put up 24 fantasy points. Like, is that his ceiling? I think is the biggest question.
I think it's probably pretty close to it just because of the lack of volume. I suppose you could get another touchdown on the ground, which would help a little bit, but yeah, I mean, I don't think he can go over 30 for sure. He's running, but he's not running like a ton. 6 and 7 rushing attempts the last 2 weeks. So yeah, I mean, he's in that range. Like there's a floor there because of the rushing, but the ceiling just isn't there because they're not throwing enough. That's why I would definitely do the skinny stack and just hope that some of the expensive quarterbacks fail. I mean, he's 5,500. I think he's in play at that tag, but not something I love.
If I'm playing anybody from Atlanta, it's probably Mariota, and it's probably by himself. And I would run it back with like a Mixon or a Chase on the other side of this game. Like, I mean, looking at the Cincinnati side, they're in a fantastic spot. Like, this is a team that allows huge chunks in the air. We know that Cincinnati likes to throw the ball. I think they're 6th or 7th in pass percentage per game. So, I mean, this might be a week that you look at Burrow, you hope that Atlanta continues to keep games close and like you're not too worried about that. You're also worried about him slowing the game down. But I mean, Burrow, Chase, depends on Higgins if he's back or not. What are your thoughts here on Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincinnati was one of the things I got right last week. Well, the Burrow to Chase, at least. I played a lot of Hayden Hurst as well. That didn't work out so well. He's got a decent target share. He's on the injury report again. We'll see. He's been playing through it so far. He's 3,500, so I don't mind going back to Hayden Hurst. T. Higgins is the important one. I still have interest in Chase, even if he plays. I have interest in Higgins if he's out there. I say that, but he's been active and limited the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, I guess if he doesn't get a full practice in all week, it's going to be really tough to play Higgins without seeing it first, just because we've seen him be active and be limited at the same time. So Higgins is a tough call, which makes Boyd a tough call too. I have interest in Boyd if Higgins were to miss, but really it's Chase first as pretty clearly the number one with Higgins still banged up.
For what it's worth, you know, week five, Higgins just disappeared. But week six, he had 10 targets. He played 86% of the snaps. He ran two less routes than Boyd and three less routes than Chase. So I think like Higgins and Chase are both playable. The biggest question mark outside of like looking at like maybe playing the Cincinnati defense, but, you know, you also worry about like Mariota just not throwing a ton, is like Joe Mixon. He's involved in the passing game, which is really, it's helped. But, like, how can we pay 7K for this guy right now? Like, we know he's capable of three touchdown games, but is he capable of three touchdown games in this offense?
We haven't seen it all year. Like, he was dealing with like severe inefficiency issues the first couple of weeks. And now like he only had 8 carries last week. I can't pay 7K for him. Like you said, there's again, plenty of options in that 5 and 6K range. He just hasn't shown the ceiling. I could definitely see this turning into the type of game script where they hand it to him 25 times, but it's not something I'm going to play a ton of because the efficiency hasn't been there as well. Like if he goes 20 attempts for 80 yards, like that's not getting there unless he falls in the end zone 2 or 3 times, which could happen, but probably not something to take a major shot on.
Anything else here before we move on?
Nope, that's all I have.
Cleveland at Baltimore, 45.5 total in this one. Baltimore, 6.5-point favorite. Start here with Cleveland. Baltimore started the season really bad against the pass. And I mean, if you look at like their passing yards allowed per game, it's not the best. Like this pass defense is like, all right, hey, we're good. They're certainly reminding everybody that they're good. We know Cleveland likes to run the ball. Baltimore has a really stout run defense. Man, I'm struggling with like the Cleveland side of this game. Like the guy that like continues to pop off the charts for me in this game is Njoku, of all people.
I agree with you. I really like Njoku, and this is a good spot for him. But the problem is I want to play Lamar and Andrews, and I don't love to do the double tight end in a tournament. I mean, Njoku's cheap enough, so you don't need quite as much from him. But I don't love double tight end, and that's how I really want to play this game. Cooper's fine, but like you mentioned, Baltimore's secondary is getting healthier, and they played a lot better here the last couple of weeks. So I think Kareem Hunt is the guy that I like the best. I mean, in a vacuum, it's Njoku that I like the best. He's getting a ton of targets, but the guy I want to play for Baltimore is Andrews, and they play the same position. So that creates a little bit of an issue. Hunt did not get hardly any work last week, which is tough, but he's a guy that's been very involved in the passing game before. Playing from behind, hopefully they would get him a little bit more involved. Price is okay at 5,400. It's not like in the past he's just been a pass down back. He's involved in goal line carries and things like that too. So Kareem Hunt, I think, is the guy that I prefer on Cleveland here.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, the price tag is fantastic at 5,400 if you were able to get like a ceiling game at a Hunt. And I'm with you. That's why I struggle, right? Like, Cooper's volume, he has a 28% target share in this offense. They don't throw the ball a ton, which is like the biggest concern, but percentage, a large percentage of the passes are going to Cooper. So it's just, it's a really tough matchup. I mean, like I said, the Baltimore secondary, they started the season terrible, but they've turned it on. And, you know, we saw this last year with Miami. I think they were the worst pass defense in the league the first 6 weeks, and then the rest of the season they were top three. So, like, it happens, you know. So I'm concerned with Cleveland just being able to keep up in this game, but I do think they're going to be trailing. So Hunt, Cooper, Njoku, all very interesting plays, I think, in this spot. And then on the Baltimore side, you pretty much already, you know, said it, like Lamar to Andrews, like, you can't really trust anybody else. You know, Marcus Robinson's getting targets. Like, you can't trust anybody else. Like, if you're playing Baltimore in this spot, you're playing Lamar and you're playing Andrews. Andrews got a day off on Wednesday. Don't look into that too much. It was just maintenance. So is there anything else here that you'd like, that you'd want to play on the Baltimore side?
You don't trust Kenyon Drake. I tilted that on the podcast last week that I played a bunch of Dobbins and then Drake played just as many snaps.
But Dobbins got hurt in that game. Didn't he hurt his knee? Yeah.
Yeah. They said the knee tightened.
If he sits, I'll play Kenyon Drake if Dobbins sits.
Yeah. I mean, I think you would need Dobbins to miss the game. The other, Justice Hill, I think, is on his way back. So that just adds another name to this backfield. It's a mess now because we don't know how healthy Dobbins is. It's hard to feel good about Drake continuing to have the role that he had last week. So yeah, it's really just, it's Lamar and Andrews. It's pretty obvious. Andrews is the target monster. I think even if Bateman plays again, Andrews is still, he's still the number one guy here. Duvernay is cheap again. That's something I tried a ton last week that did not work out. I don't have any problem going back to that because he's 4,500, but Andrews is really the guy I want to stack with Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the only pivot that you could potentially trust unless Bateman's back. If Bateman's back, you could take a shot on like either one of these guys with Lamar without Andrews and just hope that like the production doesn't go to Andrews. I will say this, right? Like, this run defense is 30th in DVOA against the run. They're a run defense that's beatable. But if Dobbins is out, do we trust that it's going to be Drake or is it going to be Hill? You know, that's the second question is, unless we get like a hard announcement that like Drake is going to start. I mean, he looked great last week against the Giants. So who knows? I mean, did he earn the starting job if Dobbins is out? Probably. But I mean,
I think over Mike Davis, certainly, but Justice Hill coming back.
Yeah, like so that, I said, they just, love Justice Hill, man.
Yeah.
I know it's tough. I would assume that it's going to be Drake, but I think you'd have to wait until you got more news on that situation. See if Dobbins is going to play. It doesn't sound like
Dobbins,
he's going to play.
Drake out, or Dobbs and Hill out. It's not a certainty that Hill will be back, but he is practicing again. I did see that today. But if Dobbins and Hill were to miss, then you can play Drake.
I think Hill plays this week from everything that I read. Like, the hamstring doesn't seem to be bothering him anymore. So big time situation to watch just because of how bad this run defense has been. You know, that's one thing that I'll say. So, all right, Detroit at Dallas, one of my favorite games on the weekend, probably a lot of people's favorite games on the weekend. 49 total, Dallas 7-point favorites. Two of the fastest paced teams like in the NFL. This is projected as one of the, if not the fastest paced game on the weekend. So I mean, that's phenomenal to know. Injury wise, you know, you mentioned it. We assume that with a full practice, Dak is going to start this week. Right. Like, I don't think it will be Cooper Rush. Who knows? We know that like Swift was still limited. You know, Detroit's coming off of a bye week. We'll see what looks like for them. Like, we know that Jameson Williams is not going to play this week. DJ Chark didn't practice on Wednesday. Josh Reynolds didn't practice on Wednesday. But huge news here. St. Brown, full practice Wednesday. So no matter what happens, it looks like we're going to get a healthy, ready-to-go St. Brown in this game. And, you know, he returned week five against New England, did not look himself in that game. So tough matchup against New England, but he only played 30% of the snaps. He was not a healthy Smith or St. Brown, sorry. Looking at the matchup, Dallas defense has been solid, but Jared Goff is going to chuck. I want DeAndre Swift to be back. That helps the offense, but my main target here is by far St. Brown.
Yeah, completely agree with you. If he's fully healthy, which I think he will be with a full almost 2 weeks off with the bye in there, the role this guy had before his injury was one of the best in football. Talking target shares up around over 30%. He's the guy for sure. Hockenson is interesting. Like, his price tag is up at almost 5K now, 4,800. That's a bit of a tough ask. I mean, he's certainly shown he has the ceiling to pay that off, but I'd rather play St. Brown. Swift is also difficult, especially if he's not 100%. I think his injury was a little bit more serious than St. Brown. So if he goes, we've seen them activate him and then have him on a pitch count in a game as well. So just a tough situation with Swift. Love the player, but until he shows that he's healthy, it's tough to play him. But give me all the St. Brown for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think if Swift plays 50% of the snaps, it's really tough to pay $6,800 for him. And it's tough to pay $6,100 for Jamal Williams if Swift is even active. So, I mean, if Swift is out, I think you could continue to take shots on Jamal Williams at 6K, even in a tough matchup against Dallas. Like, the volume is there. He didn't have any catches last or 2 weeks ago against New England. Was kind of a bust, but I mean, St. Brown, I want to see with the DJ Chark like news what happens with that, because I think Josh Reynolds is still interesting. If Chark is out, he's 4,700, so he's cheap. I think we all kind of expect Dallas to get up in this game and score some points. So, you know, taking shots on like wide receiver twos at these prices, I don't hate that here for Detroit. Let's talk Dallas. We kind of assume that Dak is going to start, right?
Yep.
You know, everything that I've read seems like he's going to start. He's 6,700 going up against Detroit. If you trust Dak to be 100% in this game, the Dak CeeDee Lamb combo, the Dak Michael Gallup combo, it's juicy. It's juicy here because this is a fantastic defensive matchup for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Detroit's been a team we've been picking on all year. No reason to stop now. I think you just because of the matchup, you just have to trust that Dak is healthy and jump right in full force. The running back situation is really tough. Very much a split backfield, near 50-50. They are both cheap, but with it being a split backfield, it's hard to know which one is going off. I would lean to Pollard just because he has a little bit more explosiveness. He can break the bigger play, which is what we're looking for to speed this game up. So I don't mind pairing Pollard in my Dak stacks. But yeah, it's Lamb and it's Gallup, like you mentioned. Schultz looks like he's going to be back. He missed last week, I believe, and the week before. No, just last week. He hasn't been very involved here recently, but we know Dak likes this guy. I have some interest in Schultz at just 3,600.
So just back to the running back situation really quick. Do we think my question is like, which running back do we think if Dallas gets up by two touchdown, or do we really still think it's going to be still like a split backfield?
Yeah, I mean, 60-40 is what the numbers are on the season. I just looked to double check. It's 64% for Zeke, 41% for Pollard. So they play together a little bit. I think you just kind of count on that. Like, Zeke is really cheap, and I think he could get big volume if they were up. So I don't know if that's where you're going with that, but I mean, you're not like that's a really cheap price tag for Ezekiel Elliott if he can get that volume back.
I mean, I could see Zeke scoring two touchdowns in the spot, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't hate Zeke this week. I think I like him more on FanDuel, but he's a little bit more expensive on FanDuel at 6,900. It's just like the touchdown equity on FanDuel, not getting a ton of catches. But with that said, like he'll get a couple targets. It's just whether or not like catches and you know, I think he's playable on FanDuel at 6,900. I think he's playable at 6K on DraftKings. Like in this split work in matchups, he's put up 15. Now, what does he do in a really good matchup with Dak back against one of the worst run defenses in the NFL? I mean, they're allowing the most rushing yards per game. Like, it wouldn't even shock me if like Dak doesn't get there because both Pollard and Elliott have monster games. So a lot of different ways to approach Dallas, which is fantastic for tournaments. Dak is like cash game considerable on this slate. I think my plan right now is to go Herbert in cash. We'll talk about that against that Seattle defense, but I don't know what the right answer is yet, you know, for cash game quarterbacks, because I mean, you could argue that it's Patrick Mahomes, even in a tough matchup, or you could argue going down to one of these cheaper guys that we're going to talk about as we're going here as well. So what makes this slate fun? That's it from this one, I think.
Yep.
We got Tampa Bay at Carolina. Oh, 40.5 total in this game. Tampa Bay is a 10.5 point favorite. Probably not high enough. Two fast-paced teams. I think they're both fast-paced because they've been playing from behind so much. Baker Mayfield, questionable. We'll see. He didn't practice on Wednesday. We talked about it last week. Like, one of my favorite props that I hammered last week was the under passing yards for PJ Walker. That worked beautifully. What are we doing with Tampa Bay in this spot against Carolina?
I mean, they've been passing so much. I think that we have to be interested here. This game could get in quickly, but they could also just smash in three quarters as well. Brady is still in the low 6K range. I talked about no Allen. Obviously, you still got Lamar and Mahomes to worry about their ceiling. I don't know. I think without Allen on the slate, I'm going to take some shots on Brady. It's Evans, I think, first for me. I don't even mind pairing Fournette with Brady, but Fournette is really expensive. He's 7,700. With Godwin's health, I'm not sure that I can go there. He's been on the field. He just hasn't quite been as efficient here. He did have 12 targets last week, so don't mind going back to Godwin, but his price has come up now where it's right near Evans. I think I would rather just go Evans here. And then I think Brate's going to be out again. He was carted off the field last week.
No chance he plays.
Yeah, Kate Otten at 2,700. Probably the cash game tight end if you can't get up to Andrews. But Otten saw a really nice role without Brate 2 weeks ago.
I'm really glad that Brate's okay.
Yeah.
That was one of the injury bugs that I had last week. I was very high on him. I played him, I think I was like 32%. Like he was a guy that I took a massive stand on last week. Kate Otten is definitely interesting here. I like Leonard Fournette a lot in this game too. Carolina, I don't think they're going to score a lot. So maybe I'm looking at the Tampa defense and looking at Fournette. They gave him 21 carries last week. They really kind of got away from Rashard White last week and played Fournette, you know, 78% of the snaps in a really close game against Pittsburgh. I could see Fournette getting 20-plus carries, and against Carolina, 20-plus carries is a lot. This is a team that has struggled defending the run this year, so I like Fournette. If the game's close, like, he's someone that gets targets, so, like, he really has turned into, like, this game-script-proof type of running back, and he's right above that, like, top tier, you know, as far as pricing is concerned, so, like, Eckler is one of my favorite running back plays on this slate. We'll talk about him. He's 8,300. Fournette's like $600 cheaper. And like, I mean, they're both very high upside type of plays. So I don't mind Godwin. It's just when Evans and Godwin are both healthy, so hard to judge where it's going to go to. So I really, when I'm playing Tampa, I just kind of split up my exposure to them. Yeah, I mean, that's really it. I really like Kate Otten as a cheap tight end, though. Carolina, I want to see DJ Moore traded so bad. I want to see Christian McCaffrey traded so bad. It's just, it's not fair to these guys. There's so much talent here. And even if like Baker Mayfield plays in this game, I don't have a ton of interest in Carolina in general. With PJ Walker at quarterback, he threw the ball 16 times last week, 8 targets to McCaffrey, 7 targets to Moore, I think is what it was. It was really high. What are we doing with Carolina in this spot?
Yeah, it's tough. It definitely depends on the quarterback. I don't have a ton of interest either way, other than just running back Brady stacks. I think McCaffrey is the guy. Just we haven't seen it from Moore yet this season. McCaffrey has a role that's pretty much unrivaled in football. He's been at 85% of the snaps, seeing a huge target share. So game script proof. They'll check it down to him a ton if they're playing from behind. He's expensive at 8,400. So it becomes an expensive stack if you're using Brady and then Evans or Godwin. I think you could put Otten in there as well to save you some money. But McCaffrey is really the guy I want. Just don't love the price. Because this is a tough matchup against Tampa. They've been really good against running backs. DJ Moore is 4,900. So I'll probably end up taking shots on that again. I don't even know who I want to play quarterback. We've seen Baker try it for several weeks and he hasn't been able to get it done. PJ Walker, just the 1 week. So I don't know. Moore's price has come down enough. I think I'll play a little bit. Anderson gone now too. He wasn't getting a huge target share, but just worth noting.
Sam Darnold returned to practice Wednesday. I know he can't play this weekend from what I read, or won't play this weekend. That's who I want. That's who I want throwing DJ Moore the ball. Yeah. I agree with you on Christian McCaffrey, just his role. Like, if he finds the end zone last week, he's a guy that was a game changer in DFS because he goes from 22 to 28, 29, 30 fantasy points. And like, okay, like we were paying 95 over 10K for this guy a bunch. And like his role hasn't changed. I mean, he has 1 touchdown, 2 touchdowns, 1 passing. Oh, he has 3 touchdowns. He had 1 in week 1. I forgot about that one. So the ceiling is there. Even if PJ Walker is like playing quarterback, he's not great. So he's going to dump off a lot of passes to McCaffrey. So yeah, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, the price is just too good for the talent. He has the ability to break like a 60-yard touchdown. So he can take it into his own hands. But yeah, it's tough. You want to see him traded. Send DJ Moore to Kansas City and let us have some fun with that.
Oh, man. What about these cheap wide receivers? I think Shai Smith is.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, they're cheap. It might be worth in a pass heavy game script. I will say it might be worth a shot just because of the price. I think Shai Smith would be the guy. Maybe LaVisca Chenault if he makes it back. But Smith is the guy who's been on the field even when Robbie Anderson was there. Like there's a cheap wide receiver too in here somewhere, but I don't know how productive he's going to be.
They were down a touchdown or two most of the game last week, and he threw the ball 16 times.
Yeah.
If Baker Mayfield is back with Robbie Anderson gone, okay, now we can talk Smith and Marshall. I think that's where, like, the difference is, right? PJ Walker ceiling is probably 25 pass attempts.
Yeah.
When your ceiling is that, like, it's really hard to play any of the quarterbacks. And like, I don't even love Baker, but like they were at least letting him throw the ball 30 times a game. So that gives a little upside. You know, he had a passing touchdown, I think, in 4 or 5 games. So gives the upside to one of these wide receivers. So all right, moving on. Indianapolis at Tennessee, 42.5 total in this game. Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite. Keith, I think this is my sneaky game of the weekend. I could see this game being sneaky good. The Colts have been throwing the ball a ton this season. I don't know if you like have caught on to that too.
And it all goes to one guy.
Yeah. Like they're throwing the ball a ton, like a ton, like their second highest pass percentage this year. Tennessee is allowing the most passing yards per game, and they're they're 29th in DVOA against the pass. Like if this game was in Indianapolis, I would actually consider playing Matt Ryan in cash games. That is how much I like Matt Ryan this week. I'm going to have exposure to him. He's 5,400 and he's coming off of a game where he threw the ball 58 times. He's thrown the ball at least 30 times in every single game this season. Even in the game that they looked absolutely terrible against Jacksonville, he was chucking the ball over the field. Like Matt Ryan Pittman combos are playable. Matt Ryan Campbell combos are playable. Matt Ryan Pierce combos are playable. And the good thing is, like, Pierce and Campbell are so cheap that you can go Ryan, who's cheap. You can get Pittman in there, and then you could play one of these cheap guys to run your double stacks for large field tournaments. And with as bad as this passing defense has been, like, the upside's there. So again, I think like the Colts are a sneaky good team this week.
I don't hate it. I was definitely on Michael Pittman. I probably wasn't playing Matt Ryan until you brought this up. And I am concerned that if Jonathan Taylor comes back, he doesn't have the upside to throw it 50 plus times. Just because I think they would trust Taylor to keep them in the game.
But this run defense is so good. And like, I don't think Taylor is 100%.
Yeah, and he hasn't been as efficient this year as well. The offensive line hasn't been as good for the Colts. So maybe they do get down and are forced into the pass-heavy game script again. I was on Pittman for sure. He saw an absurd amount of targets last week. Has a phenomenal target share, 16 targets last week. He's just the clear number one here. I'm playing Pittman regardless. I think it depends on if Taylor is back or not. If I want to play Matt Ryan with them, I do like the cheap guys as well too. So it does make sense. Pittman is pricey, but the overall stack is cheap when you throw in Ryan and Pierce or Campbell.
Yeah, and what's crazy is like Pittman's averaging the ninth most fantasy points among wide receivers this year through the first six games. Is one touchdown. One touchdown. Like, that's going to change.
He almost had one last week. He hit the ground, like, in the end zone. He very nearly had it. He had it for a minute, I think.
So, I'm just saying, like, yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan's not great anymore, and we can all agree on, like, Matt Ryan is not great, but he's seventh in catches. Like I said, he's averaging the ninth most fantasy points. He's getting yards after the catch. He's averaging 83 receiving yards per game. The target share, like you mentioned, is at 24%. He's the guy. He's the guy, and he's eventually going to score touchdowns. When he scores touchdowns, he has 40-point ceiling. I mean, it's as simple as that. So he scored 29 last week without a touchdown. Love Pittman. I don't mind Campbell or Pierce. They're both really cheap. If Taylor comes back, I'm probably not playing him at 8,100 against this tough Tennessee run defense. He's phenomenal. But again, they're second in the NFL in pass percentage this year. They're 27th in run percentage. They don't like to run the ball. And that's fantastic for this matchup because this defense is good against the run and they're very good funnel pass defense. So, let's go to the Tennessee side of this game with my thoughts on like Ryan and Pittman. I kind of like Derrick Henry this week. Coming off of a bye, fresh legs, going up against the Colts here. I mean, he's 8,200, but he's like one of the last like handful of like workhorse running backs left in the NFL that has the potential to get 25 plus carries.
Yeah, I like Henry here also. Indy's defense has been surprisingly bad this year. I thought they were going to be a pretty good unit. I know Shaq Leonard has missed quite a bit of time. And I'm not sure what his status is for this week. If he's back, maybe that makes a little bit of a difference, but it's still, it's Derrick Henry is a home favorite. You have to be interested in that. Treylon Burks being gone from the receiving court. Like, there's just not a ton of talent out there on the receiving court here for C. Going to be forced to, like, their best way to score points is to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. So massive role. He's a home favorite. I'm with you there on Henry.
Complete opposite, right? Third highest rush percentage per game, 26th pass percentage per game. So complete opposite offenses here. And if we can just get some touchdowns from Tennessee and the Colts are able to put up some points, like, this game, you might hear this game later in my over-under section. So I like this game. Like I said, I think this game has sneaky upside. I mean, Robert Woods would be my favorite if I was going to play a pass catcher from this offense. But I mean, I think it's Derrick Henry, and you could pair Derrick Henry with Matt Ryan and the pass catchers from Indy and just hope that game script is Tennessee gets up by a couple touchdowns early and they just pound the rock. And even if they don't get up, they're still going to pound the rock with Derrick Henry. This guy has 20 rushing attempts in four or five games this year. He's been involved in the passing game a little bit here recently too. So, which we haven't seen from Henry in the past, and it's nice to see because it definitely adds some more upside to his repertoire here. So, Giants and Jags, 42 total here. Jacksonville, 3-point favorites. No respect for the Giants, man. This team is decently good, and they're doing it with no wide receivers. What do you like here for the Giants?
Saquon Barkley.
He's good.
He looks phenomenal. Has one of the best roles in football. You said it, like, they just don't have much of a passing game because all their wide receivers are hurt. Wandale Robinson did make his debut, scored a touchdown. Only had four targets though. Like, they're going to hand it off to Barkley as long as that's still working. So he's the guy. I don't want to play Daniel Jones. Wandale's not, like, free anymore either, 4,500. I think I could see a scenario where his role expands a little bit this week. But for 4,500, I'm just not sure how many shots I want to take on that. Slayton's price is up a little bit too. It's just Saquon here.
What do you my question to you is, what do you expect here from Robinson? He only played 22% of the snaps last week. He ran 10 routes and had four targets on 10 routes. That is something to note. Like, if we think he's going to get up in that, like, 60 to 70% snap percentage, and if he runs 25-ish routes, like, is he going to be an 8-target guy? Is he going to be, like, the Sterling Shepard role with Daniel Jones? He's 4,500. He's cheap. This game has some potential. I think with Robinson's price, you could potentially play him with Barkley. You know, Barkley's the play. I'm not trying to say that, like, he's not the play. Like, he's the play. He's one of the best running backs on the slate. He's going to be that way when he's healthy in any matchup. It's just, I mean, maybe Robinson is playable here. Like, there was no setbacks. He practiced Wednesday. No, not on the injury report right now. Everything points to, like, this guy being the number one wide receiver, and it still sounds like Tony's not going to play. So I think I have a little bit more interest in Robinson than I initially did when I was looking over the slate. So there you go.
Yeah. I didn't realize the snap share was quite that low. That is really interesting because without a doubt, I think he's trending towards being the wide receiver one here. I don't know if it happens this week because of the health. If he logs full practices all week, I think he could be in line for 50 to 60% of the snaps. And if he's up in that range, we've definitely got something to work with here. So yeah, I'll be digging into that a little bit more. I'll definitely be keeping an eye on his practice reports. And as long as I see full practices, I'm probably going to be more interested than I was initially as well.
One other name I'm going to throw out there as a potential pivot off of Otten is Daniel Bellinger. Talked about him last week on the podcast. Five catches on five targets, touchdown. I mean, he's not going to be this huge yardage guy, but he is definitely like a red zone threat when it comes to Daniel Jones. So I don't mind Bellinger here at 3,400. More of a tournament play, but I mean, it's early in the season. Dude has 3 touchdowns already. There's not much here as far as competition, just in general. He had a 20% target share last week. He played 97% of the snaps. He ran the most routes on the team. So just kind of like a sneaky, quiet, good tight end that we're not really talking about a lot yet. So
if they throw the ball at all, these targets have to go somewhere. Darius Slayton has never been a guy who's commanded a ton of targets. We don't know how many snaps Wandale Robinson's going to play. I think that's a great call.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, Richie James has kind of disappeared, you know, as well. So, yeah, maybe Bellinger's the play with Barkley. Barkley's the play.
For sure.
Jacksonville, like, the Giants defense has struggled. They're 30th in DVOA. They've really struggled to stop the run. The problem is we are in a full split backfield situation now in Jacksonville. Like, it is a full split backfield situation. I mean, the concerning thing last week is it was a super competitive game. And we only saw 22 pass attempts from Trevor Lawrence in that game. That hurts the upside of Kirk, and it hurts the upside of Jones and Jones. Jones times two. Like, I don't know what to think. They are home favorites. This defense is beatable. What are your thoughts here on the Jags?
Yeah, I'm interested just because of the matchup here against this Giants defense. And I think it's Travis Etienne is the guy that I want. The rushing share is pretty split, but I think Etienne is the guy they're looking to long term, and I know Etienne is the guy in the passing game, so he's the game script proof guy. He's a little bit cheaper. If he has 50% of the rushing, and whatever, I don't know what his target share has been on the season, but it's definitely higher than Robinson's. Yeah, he's 2 targets last week, 5 the week before, so not outstanding. But if they're behind, Etienne's going to be the guy in there for the passing work. I have a lot of interest in Etienne, especially if they're going to lean more run-heavy anyway. I do still have interest in the wide receivers here. I don't know that I'm looking to double-stack Trevor Lawrence, though. I probably just have interest in finding the volume guy. Christian Kirk at 5,900. His upside is like 10 targets. We've seen it a couple of times this year. So I certainly want some Christian Kirk. And then Zay Jones, just because of the price, he's played pretty well this year when he's been healthy. Caught all 5 of his targets last week. I think Zay Jones is in play as well at 4,400.
I want to watch the Marvin Jones news because I do think that helps Zay. I also think he could potentially help Evan Ingram. If one of the Jones were to sit, do we see like a little bit of Evan Ingram revenge here against the Giants? Does Trevor Lawrence like feed him a touchdown? He's 3,300, man. We have Andrews, we have Kelsey on the slate, and like paying up for top tight ends is phenomenal, but it's also hard sometimes when you have so many good plays. So I like looking at these cheap tight ends. I think both the tight ends in this game half touchdown potential. Yeah, there you go. That's what I got. That's what I got from the Jags. I like the ETN call. He's the explosive guy too. Like, he's the guy that could break the long touchdown run too, like for tournaments. So I like the ETN call. Game script proof. It's the only thing that like gets him out of the game is like, it is like a 50-50 share. And if he's not running the ball well, and Robinson breaks a couple good runs, like, does it go 60-40? Maybe. But I really do think like this team is building to the future. They have Lawrence, they have Kirk, they have, you know, Zay Jones, they have ETN. Like, they're building towards the future. So
yeah, and ETN is getting a little bit more work. For what it's worth, he has played more snaps than Robinson each of the last 3 weeks. He was at 2 weeks ago, 49% to 46%, 51% to 43%, and then ETN at 45%, Robinson at 40% last week. So this is trending in ETN's direction for sure.
All right, Houston at Las Vegas, taking on the Raiders, 45.5 total here. Vegas, a 7-point favorite at home. Start with the Houston side. Another game that I think could be sneaky good. If Davis Mills shows up at all in this game, like if he shows up at all in this game has all the potential of being good. Damian Pierce is in a good spot. Brandon Cooks is in a great spot. If Davis Mills can show up in this game has all the makings of being uber competitive.
Yeah, this is, I think, my favorite game of the week. I like Detroit-Dallas a ton as well. I think a lot of people will like that one. I think this could be a little bit of a sneakier pivot. We'll see what ownership shakes out at, but I absolutely love this game. Carr is cheap. Sorry, were we starting Raiders or Texans?
Houston. Always the Houston visiting side. Team, Keith. It's week seven.
I should know that by now. Yeah, like if Davis Mills can keep this game close, we've got a real potential for shootout. I love Damian Pierce in this spot. This is his backfield now. 6,400 price is coming up, but 26 rushing attempts last week. This role is starting to look like a workhorse role here for Damian Pierce. I think that they're like the Vegas run defense is nothing to be afraid of. I think that Pierce can have plenty of success on the ground, and that's the way that this game stays close, is he just runs for a couple of touchdowns early, and we actually find Carr in catch-up mode a little bit. So I love Damian Pierce. I will build some Carr stacks as well, and I'll be looking for bringbacks. I don't mind Pierce as a run back, as in that he has gotten a little bit of pass game work in the last 2 weeks. But Brandon Cooks is probably the guy I prefer in a run back scenario. I think you could take some looks at O.J. Howard as well if Brevin Jordan misses again. They cut Farrell Brown, so O.J. Howard is kind of the last guy standing with Akins there. That's not a comfortable play, but he's cheap. But yeah, I mean, Cooks on the other side of my Raider stacks and Damian Pierce for sure.
One other name I want to mention is Nico Collins. He's a legit wide receiver too, if he's healthy. I mean, his snap share is trending in the right direction. He's running routes. If they get behind in this game, he has tremendous value at 4,200. But Pierce is my favorite. I'll have some Cooks and some Collins. I don't think I'm playing Davis Mills just because they don't tend to throw the ball enough. And even if they're down, I don't know if he necessarily has the ceiling. I can play as pass catchers and just hope I get the one or two touchdowns that Mills is going to throw. But the other side of this game, I do like Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is really he's in play here at 5,900. Like, Josh Jacobs is in a fantastic spot. We'll start with him. He's in a fantastic spot. Devontae Adams is in a fantastic spot. We'll see what happens with the tight end situation. Like, Jasper Horsted might be the tight end for this game. And if that happens, I definitely don't want anything to do with the tight end situation. Would potentially make like Renfro and Matt Collins more interesting. But I don't want to bury the lead here. Like, Houston can't stop the run. Josh Jacobs could run all over this defense. But Vegas likes to throw the ball a ton too.
Yeah, I like all parts of this Vegas offense. I will play Jacobs with Carr as well. Not something that I do a ton, but I could absolutely see Carr throwing a couple touchdowns early and then just putting it in Jacob's belly 20 plus times. So in that scenario with Carr at 5,900, I think like a Carr Adams Jacobs type scenario could definitely play out in this game. Jacobs is in the best spot of the week at 6,500. He's been phenomenal this year. He's had a phenomenal role this year. Probably the top running back play on the slate, but I do want to play some Derek Carr as well with Davante Adams. Carr is cheap. Adams is expensive. So it all kind of works itself out. Like you could probably just play Adams by himself and get the majority of the share, but I like the Carr Jacobs Adams stack. And I mean, you can throw in some Renfro and Hollins too, if the tight ends are out, but it's Jacobs first, then it's Carr and Adams. But I wanted plenty of exposure to both of those.
Love the spot for the Las Vegas team. Fantastic spot against Houston. This defense has been bad for years now, it seems. So really like this spot in general. I just want to hammer home one more time Hunter Renfro. I do think like he has a large role in this game if Waller sits. Adams, if Carr just feeds Adams the ball in this game, Adams could, he could go for 200 yards. I say that jokingly, but we watched him feed Adams in week one against the Chargers, and he had 10 catches on 17 targets for 140. It's a much better matchup. So if Waller's out, man, Adams could have a big day, especially like coming off of a game where Adams was pissed. It just everything sets up for Adams to have a big game here. So we got the Jets and the Broncos. 38 total. Denver favored by one. Can we just say oof? This game, we'll start with the Jets. Breece Hall has been a breath of fresh air when it comes to the Jets. And Breece Hall has just been phenomenal. Like he's averaging over 5 yards per carry in the last two games and over 4.9 in three of his last four games. And he's doing it with Zach Wilson and Joe Flacco at quarterback and Michael Carter getting work as well. Like Breece Hall is legit. And we're eventually going to continue to see this number trend to like Breece Hall around 75% of the snaps. It's just, this is a tough matchup. I mean, Denver's defense is no joke, and they're a lot better against the pass than they are against the run, but that's not saying much. Overall, the number one DVOA defense on the league this year. Is there anything here for the Jets that you want to play?
Breece Hall is the only Jet that I have any interest in whatsoever. When you said he was trending towards 75%, I thought you were going to say his price is trending towards 7,500, which I agree with as well. Like you're getting Breece Hall at a discounted price right now for how talented this guy is. And I think he's going to end up winning more of the job as well, just a larger share of it. So 6,200, tough matchup, but I think he can still win. I definitely want to play some Breece Hall. I have no interest at all in Zach Wilson or any of the pass catchers.
I mean, he's so involved in the passing game too that I don't see him coming off the field. And like, was it week three? I think it was week three. I know it was Flacco at quarterback, but they showed like they were down and like Hall got, I think he had 10 plus 11 targets. Like, so if they get down in this game, if Russell Wilson finally shows up, it's a great spot for Hall. It's just a low on running back. He's not going to be popular here, right? Like, let's see.
I don't think so.
We have him currently at 21% projected ownership. Well, so we could be completely wrong.
The price is good enough. That makes sense to me. I don't know. There's a lot of options in this 6K range.
Jacobs is in this range. Kenneth Walker, Pierce, who we haven't talked about, is under this price range. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that number comes down as we get closer to Sunday.
Yeah, it's so early in the week. Denver. I don't know, man. The Jets corners have definitely been playing a little bit better here over the last couple weeks. Russell Wilson looks terrible. He does not look like Russ. I don't know what to think here. You know, Melvin Gordon got banged up, but they already said that he's going to start and play here. He's 6K. Man, I'm struggling with Denver in this game. Like, I know they're going to score some touchdowns in this game. I'm just struggling. Like, do I just take some shots on Sutton? Do I take some shots on Judy? I don't know if I can play Russ, but if there was ever a spot to play Russ, like, the Jets play so fast that they're going to have plenty of plays here.
I think we have to have interest, but maybe the total is telling us we don't have to have interest. I mean, we're talking about a 19.5 team total here for Denver. I don't know what to do with it either. Sutton, I think, is the guy just because the running backs room is just an absolute mess. We saw Latavius Murray come off the street and handle the majority of the rushing share last week. Like, what's going on here?
Melvin Gordon, something happened, right?
They said he was completely healthy after the game, but they did come out then and say Melvin Gordon would be the starter this week. So I don't know what's going on exactly.
No, because he went into the game with like a neck, right? Like he had a neck and like a rib issue or something. I don't know. I don't trust the running back situation. The fact that Melvin Gordon is 6K makes it so much easier not to trust the running back situation. I would play, like, if I was going to take a shot, I'd play Latavius Murray before I would play Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
But I'm not playing either one.
Yeah.
I'm not playing either one.
Yeah. Just there's no need to try to figure this out. There are plenty of good running back plays right in the same range. The 5-6K range, I think, is where all the great running back plays are. So there's no need to really try to figure this situation out. Just like Sutton's a guy. Oh, and tight end Dulcich had an awesome role in his first game. So I said Otten might be the cash game tight end. It could be Dulcich also. He's 2,500, caught a touchdown in his first NFL game, returned off IR. Very, very talented pass catcher at tight end.
Yeah, and their other tight end was just inactive. Like, it wasn't even, like, an injury
thing. Yeah, so. Yeah, Akui Bunam, like, he just straight up did not dress.
Yeah, I want to see what his ownership looks like. He only had 3 targets, but again, like, man, I'm sure you watched that game too, but like Denver, it was like, all right, the first half of that game is like, all right, Denver's going to play football this week. Yeah. And then whatever happened at halftime.
Yeah, I'm not playing Russ. Like, I just give me one piece that can hit in this game. I think it's Sutton or it's Dulcich, but I'm not using any Russ stacks.
I might have at least one. I mean, I'm pot committed now. So, I mean, I'll probably have one or two. Anyway,
another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Moving on. We're not spending a lot of time on that game. We're moving on. We got Kansas City at San Francisco. 48.5 total here. Kansas City, a 3-point favorite. I mean, San Francisco showed last week they're vulnerable. I mean, Atlanta put up a really good, solid game against them. This is Pat Mahomes. This is this Kansas City high-powered offense. What are we looking at with the Chiefs going into San Francisco here?
I mean, you got to play some Pat Mahomes, right? Egg on our face. We said it wasn't Juju last week. Guess what? It was finally Juju.
I'm glad it's Juju because our original take this year was it's going to be Juju.
Yeah, so it totally was.
It was like one of those situations. We're going to be right either way, but we're also going to be wrong either way. So, hey.
Yep. Yeah, it was nice to see him finally have some production. He still only had 5 targets, though. So, I don't know. It's still a difficult situation. Like, it's just Kelce is the answer. I don't – 8K, it's whatever. You figure out how to fit him in and figure out the rest of the lineup elsewhere. Mahomes and Kelce is the answer here. I think you can take some shots on Hardman. We're very close to getting that right. I mean, I guess for 4K, we like maybe not GPP value, but he met his value for a good amount. Really liked the rollout of Hardman. He got the touchdown. We'll see. 4,300 this week. I think he's in play for sure as well. And sort of back to Juju if you want to. But Mahomes to Kelsey is the real answer here.
Yeah, I talked about Hardman last week, and I don't think I was necessarily wrong when it came to Hardman. He got the touchdown. He had a decent game. He kind of got taken out of the game a little bit when he had the fumble. That definitely hurt his upside, but they eventually went back to him instead of Sky Moore. I think Hardman has a role in this offense. He's so fast, man. Like, this is like a – like, they're going to continue to make plays for him. Listen, Kansas City throws the ball the most in the NFL per game. You have to have interest in the percentage of these guys because of how much Pat Mahomes throws. Obviously, Kelsey is the big red zone threat. Patrick Mahomes locks in on this guy. This guy's doubled, and he still catches touchdowns. Like, it's just – it's phenomenal. So, I have interest in Juju. I have interest in Hardman. I still don't think MVS is the answer. I could see like DJ Moore coming in and like MVS going to a wide receiver 4 under Hardman. I don't know. San Francisco side of this game though. Oh, man, the Kansas City pass defense has allowed a lot this year. And is this a spot that are we going to trust this Ayuk game from last week? It is the big question. We know what we're getting out of Debo. Do we trust Jimmy G to do his thing in this matchup is the next question. Listen, I love stacking when I'm playing up against Kansas City, whether it be the quarterbacks or the wide receivers or the tight end with Kittle with 10 targets last week. You nailed that. Didn't necessarily have a monster game, but it's coming. Like he's involved again. So the good thing, Keith, is we know where the production's going for San Francisco. It's going to Wilson on the ground, Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle in the air. We don't have to worry about Juwan Jennings or Ray-Ray McCloud or anybody else. Tevin Coleman's going to get a few carries over Wilson, but it's still going to be Wilson. Like we can stack back a lot of this game on the San Francisco side.
Yeah, I think there are some great run back options. Debo and Kittle are my two favorites. Ayuk is somebody who actually, I didn't play a ton of him last week, but he did end up in my best Burrow to Chase stack and was on my best tournament team that actually saved my week a little bit. Had a decent finish there, but Ayuk probably isn't going to catch 2 touchdowns again. Debo and Kittle are really the red zone guys with Jeff Wilson, but I'll go right back to Kittle. Like you said, 10 targets. It was pretty clear in the numbers that they were trying to get him the ball. They were finally able to. I think like he's just a phenomenal pass catching tight end. So like when they have to use him to block, it's not ideal. But whenever they do let him get involved in the passing game, it's usually with good results. So I'm going right back to Kittle. Debo is the other guy that I want to go to. I just think there's more touchdown equity there than with Ayuk. I'm pretty sure San Francisco plays from behind. I mean, they're a good team and their defense has played great, but it's against Patrick Mahomes. So struggling with Jeff Wilson, that was one of the things I got wrong last week. I thought this was a great spot for Jeff Wilson. Did not expect them to be playing from behind against Atlanta, obviously. So that didn't work out. But yeah, I'm interested in the pass catchers here on the other side of the Chief stacks for sure.
It's a stackable game. We don't have a ton of stackable games on this slate, and this is definitely a stackable game.
Yeah, I will say it is tough to stack because kind of like what we talked about with the Ravens and Andrews, like Kittle's probably the guy I want to play the most, but unless I'm playing 2 tight ends, like it's Mahomes and Kelsey that I really want to play here. And if you use Debo, that's really expensive. So maybe Ayuk is the best option here just because of the way the positions and the pricing works out. It is pretty tough to do the Mahomes to Kelsey. Like if you go Kittle, you've got 2 tight ends. If you go Debo, it's really expensive. So I like when I think of it from that perspective, I have more interest in Ayuk than I originally did.
So I will say like, if you're playing the afternoon only the 4 o'clock games, it's a 4 game slate this week. I do the expert survey for RG. It's definitely possible to go double tight end on that slate. That's where it becomes very interesting to go double tight end. So, just saying. We finish it out. Last game here, Seattle at LA, taking on the Chargers. Chargers, a 6.5-point favorite in this game. 6-point favorite. It went down. Man, this is a game that I really like. Nailed the Seattle pick last week. I did say that I like their money line. Geno's legit, man. I'm just going to keep saying it. Like, Geno's legit, and this defense is bad. Kyler Murray's just worse. The Chargers are going to put up points, which makes me really interested in Geno. Makes me really interested in Walker, Metcalf, Lockett. Noah Fant, if we didn't have so many tight end plays, I think would be interesting. But another team where we kind of know where the production's going, and the game script looks like it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, the Metcalf Lockett production last week was something that crushed me as well. You go right back to it though. But they're the guys that you want. Geno is cheap. Metcalf and Lockett are still, I mean, in my opinion, underpriced. Lockett certainly. Metcalf, I think, is the real number one here. 6,600 for a guy that could see double digit targets. I'm all for that. Tough matchup against the Chargers, but I'm in for it. I definitely want some Chargers exposure. Debo is probably, or not Debo, DK Metcalf is a preferred option here. Kenneth Walker, I like. I'm worried about game script here. He was a little bit involved in the passing game, so I was underweight on Walker last week, which didn't work out. He had a great game. He did have three targets, so I don't know. I suppose that there's some passing game work there at least. He's still cheap at 5,800, so he's in play, but I am worried that this game script could get away from him. We could see a little bit more DJ Dallas in the passing game than we did last week.
I like this game. And like, obviously it has the highest implied total on the slate. It's juicy. It's just people don't like the Geno. Like we consistently see that people don't believe in this guy. And like, I mean, Metcalf had a really tough individual matchup last week, and it's a tough matchup this week, but it's better than it was last week. So I like Metcalf. Again, I agree with you. Like, he's 6,600. And he is 2-touchdown upside, so he's too cheap. I mean, the Chargers side of this game, it'd be really interesting to see if Keenan Allen is going to be back or not. Like, it's such a huge piece to this offense if he's back or not. Mike Williams got absolutely shut down. He got shut down last week. No joke. That corner from Denver, I can't think of his name right now, but you do not want to play
Surtain.
Like wide receiver. Yeah, you don't want to play wide receivers against him. Like,
yeah,
he just shut him down. Like, go right back to well on Williams, even if Allen is active. Jared Everett is someone I like, but I mean, this whole offense is fantastic. It's just really predicting what you think the game script is going to be. But it goes back to the conversation of, this is another spot you could potentially go quarterback, running back, wide receiver.
Yeah, definitely agree with that call. Eckler, like, he just keeps getting it done, man. He's not playing all the snaps, but when he's out there, he is efficient, and he's finding the end zone at an absurd rate. 8,300, but this is a fantastic matchup. And he's a really talented player who's been super efficient. So I think you keep playing him. He's kind of like the pass catching version of Nick Chubb, right? Like, Chubb just feels like he shouldn't always get there, but he always ends up getting there. Eckler's kind of that same way. This is probably the best matchup he's had all season. I guess he had Houston earlier in the year, but this is as good as matchups get. So I definitely want some Eckler. Herbert. Man, I don't like tough matchup last week, but he didn't look great. And I'm still a little bit concerned about those ribs. He's 7,200. I'm going to play some. I do like the idea of having Eckler in that stack, though, as kind of a slight hedge that, like, Eckler could run one in. And then if Herbert doesn't completely go off, you could still find a way to get there. But yeah, I love the Chargers side here. Eckler's first. Herbert's a little bit underpriced, I think, for this matchup. Depends on Keenan Allen as far as the which pass catchers I want to play, but all of them in play for sure.
Great spot for the Chargers just in general, I think, today or this week. This week. So, yeah, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Fun slate. Like, even after, like, breaking it down game by game, I'm going to stick with my original thought and say this is just a fun slate. We'll see how it plays out. All right, give me a quarterback that you have throwing for 300 plus yards. We both missed this one this last week, so we got to bounce back here.
Yeah, I went to Brady. That didn't work out. I thought about going back to Brady again this week just because they throw so much. But I'm going to go Joe Burrow. Seems like T. Higgins getting a little bit healthier. He played a little bit more. Jamar Chase obviously had a fantastic game last week. I think they're in a good spot again.
Burrow, it is. I debated on this one, but I'm going to go Geno. I really think that he's going to throw for 300 plus yards in this game. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. So give me Geno. It's either Geno or Carr if I'm going cheap quarterbacks on my main lineup this week. I really haven't decided which one yet, but low on running back for a touchdown. Again, we do this on Wednesday night. It's now Thursday morning on the East Coast, but who do you got as a low on running back that's going to score a touchdown this week?
I'm going to play a lot of Travis Etienne this week. The role is growing. I like this matchup against the Giants. He gets passing game work. He can certainly find the end zone.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. He is so much cheaper, too, at 5,400. He projects well. Like I think he's going to be someone that we see push a little over 10%. I hope not. I hope that it's going to work out, but we'll see. I'm going to go Zeke Elliott. I really think Zeke's going to find the end zone this week. I don't expect him to be popular because of the situation. I'm going to go Zeke Elliott. Quarterback, wide receiver, stack for a touchdown. Who you got?
Maybe this will sway your decision a little bit. I've got Carter Adams here. This is a fantastic spot for this Raiders offense.
All right. I'll see you, Carter Adams. And delay a little bit. I'll go Dak to CD.
Love it.
Hedging my Elliott pick, but I could see all three of them scoring touchdowns. So,
yeah, I mean, it's Detroit. We've seen Detroit give up, 48 that one week?
Oh, yeah. All right, give me a wide receiver that's going to have 8-plus targets this week.
Michael Pittman. I mean, dude has just had an awesome role all season. Healthy again. They're throwing the ball at a really high rate, like you mentioned.
I'm going to jump on his props as soon as I see them. I love this spot for him this week, so I'm right there with you. I'm going to go DK Metcalf, kind of pairing him with my Geno pick. I really think this is going to be a bounce-back week for DK Metcalf. I think he's going to have a monster week, and I think he's going to have 10-plus targets. All right, this is a tough one this week. I'm going to eliminate Kelsey, and I'm going to say no Andrews. Give me a tight end for a touchdown.
I'm going to go David Njoku. I mean, we talked about both of us liked him. It's tough to play him in a game where you want to play the tight end on the other side. And we've got two spots like that this week. I'm not sure how much I'm going to get to play him in DFS, but I do like him to score this week. The role for him has been really good.
I'm going to go Evan Ingram.
I like it.
I really think Lawrence is going to feed him a touchdown this week going up against his former team.
Narrative Street, baby.
Narrative or not, it's a great matchup. And he has a role. So, Evan Ingram touchdown this week. Let's get it. Defense for 10-plus points.
I don't love defense this week. Not that I ever love defense, but I have Denver here. Just the Jets, like Breece Hall is really good. I don't see much else. The receivers have struggled. Zach Wilson has struggled a little bit. Give me Denver at home.
I am going to go down here to the Commanders. I know I'm going to end up playing them a bunch this week because, like you said, I don't love defense. I could see the Jets defense too. I was debating between the Jets and the Commanders. I'm going to use both of these defenses this week because I want to use so much salary on skill players. I mean, I don't want to play Seattle. I don't love the Carolina defense. Texans defense is a little interesting. Maybe Atlanta's defense is a little interesting, just because of how much Burrow throws. So Commanders and Jets, but I'm going to go to the Commanders for 10 plus points this week against Green Bay. All right, let's get on to the betting portion here. We'll go favorites, money line against the spread. What do you like here this week?
I'm going to go Green Bay minus 4.5. Like, Heineke's not a bad quarterback, but he is a quarterback that will take chances. I could see him throwing a couple interceptions in this game, just getting away from them, and then struggling to keep it close. So Green Bay minus 4.5.
I'm going to go Kansas City minus 3. Listen, I think the 49ers defense is great. And I know they're at home. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, he's just really good. Hashtag analysis. Give me your favorite over-under this week.
The one that jumped out, Detroit-Dallas, I feel like that should be at 50. It's at 48.5 still in a couple spots, at 49 in a lot of spots. I think it was DraftKings and MGM that I saw still at 48.5 right before we jumped on. Over.
Yeah,
on
I like that,
obviously.
Yep. No, under. Give me Indianapolis against Tennessee, 42.5 over. I kind of hinted at it when we were talking about that game. Listen, I think Matt Ryan is legit this week. Listen, I've had some terrible, terrible quarterback calls this year. So this could fall either into that like good part, or we laugh at me again next Wednesday night. So either way.
At least you didn't say Russell Wilson. That's all I can say.
No, gosh.
And, all right. It's better. Mitchell Trubisky was your other one a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man, that was rough. There's another one, too. There's another one. Kyler Murray last week. Egg on my face.
Anyway, I played a ton of Kyler, too. So
yeah, we all did. favorite player prop here.
Let me see here. I've got Damian Pierce over 66.5 rushing yards. Kind of just like Breece Hall, really settling into a lead role here. Really talented running back. Great matchup against the Raiders. I think they'll lean on him pretty heavily.
So it was 66?
66.5, yep.
Yeah, I like that. I like that line. I'm going to go Brian Robinson. We talked about him earlier. DraftKings right now is over 52.5. It's plus 110. So I am going to be writing that up on Scores and Odds when we get off the show. So you guys, if you're watching, get in for free. If you're watching live on YouTube, yes, that's a thing. I forgot to mention in the beginning. Then you're getting this live, and you can go right now if you're in a legal state and take advantage of that line because it's going to move. I all heartedly think that line is going to move. So, all right, let's go over to our sponsor, Sleeper Fantasy. If you haven't checked them out, use promo code GRINDERS, and that way you can get the 100% deposit bonus up to $100 and get in the Roto Grinders squad. Posting stuff in there all the time. The basketball, two for two basketball 3x plays. We're 2-0 so far this year, so hopefully we can keep that rolling. Keith and I got crushed last week in football. It was not good. We're bouncing back this week. I think we're up overall for the season, so that's always a good thing. So Keith, who is your sleeper fantasy play of the week?
I am going to Saquon Barkley over 76.5 rushing yards. The Giants have been really good, and it's been because of Saquon Barkley. They have no talent in the receivers room, especially until Wandell Robinson gets 100% healthy. Saquon Barkley is this offense. If I think they can go to Jacksonville and pull out a win, it's going to be on the back of Saquon Barkley. Give me him over 76.5 rushing yards.
I like it. I'm going to go to Vegas and say Devonta Adams over 78.5 receiving yards. I think that number is way too low. Way too low.
We should be in the 90s there, it feels like.
Yeah, it seems way low. And like, it's even that on like sports books right now. This is one of those early week lines that's going to move. It's
going
to move.
Yeah, for sure. That's going up.
Like, we don't have a rushing prop for Josh Jacobs yet, but we have a 78.5 receiving yard prop for Devonta Adams. seems like a misprice. So take advantage of that. He's hit this in 3 of 5 games this year, struggled against Tennessee, struggled against Arizona. No issues here. I mean, this is going to be a smash. He's going to smash. He's going to get 10 plus targets. So got that in there. If you're in the Roto-Grinder squad, you already see it because I just hit enter. So hopefully we can bounce back this week with a nice little 3X for everyone. Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I don't have anything else. Like you said, fun slate, lots of interesting spots, lots of good plays in the same price range. So yeah, definitely a good slate we got.
It's fun, man. There's so much goodness here this week. I'm excited. I mean, the 4 o'clock games are good. There's some good 1 o'clock games, good mix this week where we seemed like we wanted to stack so much of the 4 o'clock games last week. And I mean, that definitely didn't work out too well. So yeah. That's going to wrap it up here for week 7. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, October 21st, talking NBA. Hope everyone has a fantastic NFL week 7. We'll see you again next week.